James chapter number 1, and let's just read, for starters, verses 1 through 4. I especially would like to focus on verse 4 for a while today. And James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want you to notice the subject of patience, and it's being tied to faith, in verses 3 and 4. And I want to speak about patience this morning. Patience, and the title of the message is Patience, a Wonderful Friend. Patience, a Wonderful Friend. Patience is often an attribute that we don't want to embrace. It's an attribute we might not be very interested in. I don't know any of us who likes being patient by nature. It's something you have to work on, and yet patience can be one of the best friends. For some reason, the Bible addresses patience as her, H-E-R, in verse number 4, and God does this sometimes in His Word. If you study Proverbs, for instance, He's constantly talking about wisdom as being her or she, and He like ascribes personality to these spiritual attributes so that maybe we can look at them as friends. As people called alongside of us in the spiritual realm to help us. I don't know why God does it. That's just kind of something I thought about. And maybe it's maybe patience, He refers to patience in the female gender here in verse 4. And sometimes I just like to picture patience as my grandmother. She's wonderful. Lady, 96 years old, one of those just grandmotherly type who just has a tremendous calming influence when you're around her. When you're around grandma, it just seems like everything's all right. Everything's going to be okay. And grandma meant a lot to me because I went to live with her when my mom died of cancer when I was a little boy. And she was like a mother to me, and I'm glad she's still alive. And I never saw her rattled. She just was calm, and that's like how I like to picture patience here, a calming effect of God sending along somebody alongside of us, so to speak, kind of a grandmotherly type of an attribute that just says, be patient, just wait on the Lord, just trust in the Lord, everything's going to be okay. And too often we will bolt from the presence of patience, and we lose patience, and things aren't pretty after that. I want to encourage especially the young people today to listen to this message on patience and to realize what a friend patience can be to you. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word temptations means testings of all and trials of all kinds of sorts. It says that we fall into diverse, many types of trials and temptations. Do not jump into them. Some people do that. But we do fall into them. In other words, you don't plan on them. You don't jump into it. You fall into temptations and trials. You never asked for them. Nobody says, boy, Lord, I'd sure like some more temptations and trials to come into my life today. They just happen. It's just something you fall into, and they're there, and you've got to deal with it. When that happens, my brethren, count it all joy because of the long-term benefits you're going to receive by going through temptations, trials, and testings. These are going to help you be a better man, a better woman, a better Christian. And so we ought to count it all joy. Now often when trials and temptations come, we do everything but count it all joy. A lot of times we say, oh no, how could you do this to me? Things were just working out in my life. And we count it anything but joy. But the discerning today will know that temptations and trials and testings that we fall into, that we never planned, we just fell into it, that these are good for us in the long run, as we're going to see as we study patience a little bit. And if we were that discerning, we would thank the Lord when trials come and temptations and testings, rather than get bitter at God and start complaining. And I think we'd see a whole new result if we could do that. Now it says this, and we're supposed to know this. Don't be ignorant. When we fall into diverse temptations, verse 2, our first statement shouldn't be, why is this happening to me? Notice the first two words of verse 3. Knowing this. We're supposed to know some things. Knowing this what? And here's the benefits, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It would help us to be that discerning in life. We would get along with God, and we would get along with God's plan a whole lot better if knowing this, when a trial or a temptation came along, we said, oh good, God is allowing this for my good, for my benefit. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this to come into my life. Knowing this, verse 3 is saying, don't be ignorant of this, that the reason God brings trials and temptations into your life is for the trying of your faith, and that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, who wants patience? There's not a whole lot of human being lining up at the patience store saying, boy, you know, I'd sure like some more patience. But I want you to notice three things. This is kind of an introduction here. Three things about patience that patience can produce in a person's life. And sometimes I'm glad God in His Word always tells us the benefits of things that He has planned for us, deeper things, spiritual things, like patience. I want you to notice three things here in verse 4 that patience can produce in a person's life. And number one is a perfect plan, verse 4. There's about three statements in verse 4. I want to break them down. But let patience have her perfect work. Notice there is a perfect plan that patience wants to produce in your life. A perfect plan. Have you ever noticed how impatient people settle for second best? Have you ever noticed how impatient people will settle for third best? Have you ever noticed how impatient people will settle for fourth best? Have you ever noticed how impatient people will settle for anything? God wants to try our faith to give us patience. Because God has a plan that's best. God's plan for your life is better than yours. God's plan for my life is better than what I want. But the only way to ever discover that plan is to have patience. You young people, listen up. Because you're the next batch that's pretty soon going to just settle for anything. But let patience have her perfect work. Number one, a perfect plan. Patience. If you'll learn to wait on God and trust in Him, there's a perfect plan for your life. I remember my first car. It was a 1965 Volkswagen Beetle. It was a piece of junk from the day I bought it to the day I buried it. I saw it advertised in the Penny Saver. This is way back in the 70s for $365. And I had $365, and Dad let me get my license earlier because we were farmers, and that was originally why they allowed people to get licenses at 15 and 16 was because it was a farming culture. And they needed help driving around produce and everything. But anyway, he let me get my license early. I was 16 and I saw this car. And of course, he had to take me to look at it. And I remember one of his first comments was, "You don't want that car." But I didn't have patience at the time. I had the money. I said, no, I want this car. He said, "You don't want that car." I said, "I want that." I finally talked him into it. And that was a great source of grief. Believe me, I didn't settle for best that time. I didn't even settle for second best. That thing was scrap metal from the time I had it. And that thing caused me a lot of grief. And it caused my dad a lot of grief, too, because I was forever calling him up to get a ride. The thing won't start. You know, it's broken down, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. It was a big headache. I had settled for something that was very, very, very inferior in my youth. And that's just one little illustration because of impatience. I want a car. I don't know a thing about mechanics. It was a 6-volt system. And it was rusty, air-cooled engine, no heat in it. Around here, no heat in it. Had to use an ice scraper on the windshield just to see where I was driving in the winter. Had to park it on inclines at school so I could push it down the incline with the key turned and push the thing, jump in it, and pop it in the gear and hit the clutch and, you know, give you whiplash about 3 times, but finally it would kick into gear and off I'd go. That thing was garbage. But that's just a little illustration of how impatience will just cause people to just say, I don't care if there may have been something great just around the corner that I could have had. The word work here means what one undertakes to do, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect what one undertakes to do. Patience has a plan, number one, for your life. And it's a wonderful plan. And it may mean having to wait for a while on God. You know, I told you this. I'll try to be quick with this one, but I told you the illustration. When I went in the Army, I started dating a whole bunch of girls. Foolish. I didn't know that kind of nonsense was wrong. And bounced around from girl to girl to girl to girl, and pretty soon I came across a couple that were just as desperate as I was, and she wanted to marry me, and another one wanted to marry me. I had to backpedal and get out of a relationship. It was just a lot of hurt. Breaking up and leaving people and hurting them or hurting me and so on and so forth. And I finally just quit that. I did. I just quit it. That was just crazy. Relationships and broken emotional hurt, rejection. I just quit that. And I remember back earlier when I was about 16 going to a meeting one time where an evangelist, a fiery evangelist, was preaching. And he said, "Now you teenagers need to come down to this altar and you need to pray that God will give you the right wife." And for some reason I never forgot that night, and I always prayed. And all those other girls later in the Army, I just said, "Man, there's no way." And so I gave it up, got out of the Army, went back to working on the farm with my dad, and the very, very first Sunday, I hadn't been in that church in 3 years. The very first Sunday, I went back to that church. My wife hadn't been in that church in 11 years. I hadn't been there in 3 years. And I sat down in church minding my own business, and here came this young lady, sat right in front of me. And it was Leslie Thompson. And I've told you this story many times before, but it was almost like God kind of planted her right in front of me and said, "There she is, stupid. You didn't have to go through all of that. You could have waited on me." And I believe that when it came to marriage, I was able to find God's perfect plan for my life. And I didn't settle for second best. God mercifully kept me from... I could have run off and married one of those other girls and had never in impatience and never had God's best for my life. I'm thankful for patience today. Patience is my friend. That's what I'm preaching about, by the way. Patience, a wonderful friend. And not only a perfect plan, but patience can produce a perfect person. Look at verse 4 again. But let patience have her perfect work. Notice the second statement, that ye may be perfect. Now, when we talk about a perfect person, number 2, that patience can produce, we're not talking about flawless or sinless. None of us are that. The word perfect here means complete, entire. Reaching our potential, I like to put it. Reaching our potential for God and for what God had planned for us to be. Patience produces perfection. Some of you perhaps have remodeled houses or refurnished furniture. I'm working on a nice little antique at home right now, stripping off all of the old varnish and stain and everything, and then get it down, sand it down, and so on and so forth. If I'm patient, it's going to turn out beautiful. If I'm not, it's going to look lousy. Patience can produce a perfect work. Building a house, those that are patient can produce a beautiful home. And it takes a lot of patience to produce a beautiful garden. Some people can't be gardeners. They don't have the patience. It takes years of planning to have beautiful gardens. It takes a long time and years of planning and submitting to God's plan to become a perfect person, a complete person, an entire person. And some do not give God enough time. Some people say, Lord, I know I've messed up my life for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I've been making wrong choices and decisions, but I'm going to give you 2 weeks to fix the whole thing. That doesn't work like that. We've got to have patience while God works on things and corrects things and so on. Keep your place here, but go back to Luke and chapter number 21. Luke chapter 21, I really believe that we are oftentimes our own worst enemies. Not the devil, not the world, but ourselves. And one of the things that one of the destructive habits we have in our lives is not being patient with ourselves while God is working on us. I've said this to many people, and some of you are sitting here in private conversations. I've said to you, you need to be more patient with yourself because we discourage ourselves. Perhaps we fall into some sin or some temptation overtakes us day after day after day, and we're weaker than we wish, and we forget to read our Bibles, and we forget to pray, and we forget to love God, and we end up going a month without witnessing to everybody, and we finally throw up the towel and say, what's the sense? I'm never going to change. And we become our own worst enemies because we're not patient with ourselves. Folks, every little step you take is divine. Every tiny little victory, every little advance you make. I believe that in my life of 38 years in Christ, there were times where God took 10 years to teach me one lesson and to teach it to me well. And then he said, okay, let's go on to the next one. But some people aren't patient enough to give God 10 years to work on him. In Luke 21 and verse 19, Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye. That word possess, the best I could find as I studied it, means to gain the mastery over your own self. To get yourself under control. To work on yourself spiritually. That is your souls, the spiritual part of your being. In your patience. In other words, Christ is saying, listen, you have got to have a lot of patience for my plan to be worked out in your life and for you to become the person that I want you to be. You've got to have a lot of patience. But I know people who've gotten saved, sincerely saved, born again, accepting Christ as their Savior, and they've come to church, and maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, and they say, well, I tried that, and it didn't work. And they become their own worst enemy. And they don't come to church anymore, they don't pray anymore, they say, I tried Christ, it didn't work for me. But the patient person realizes that God is working in them. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 1, I'll read this for you, and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See what I'm waiting for? I'm 50 years old now. I'm waiting to see what Christ does in me when I'm 70. And so I'm going to stick around long enough to find out. Because it's been awful nice so far, what he's done. But you have got to be patient with yourself if you're going to become what God wants you to be. God wants us to become perfect and as complete people, a perfect person. God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That hasn't arrived yet. In Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're all at different stages. We're all at different rates of growth. So don't compare yourself to me, and I can't compare myself to others. Just look at yourself, and if you've gotten one tiny little victory, or the Lord taught you one tiny little thing this week, or you got one tiny little prayer answered, thank the Lord for it. And be patient. And be patient. And be patient. Because he's going to make you better. God can change people. He is in the life-changing business. And he will continue. But you've got to wait around long enough to see what he's going to do. And then notice, third of all, a perfect peace. A perfect peace. I want you to notice in James 1 and verse 4, a perfect plan. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, a perfect, complete person. And then notice these two words, wanting nothing. Americans, you got to be kidding. Can we come to the place where we want nothing? Yes, we can. But you've got to let patience have her perfect work. This is a perfect peace. You know what peace is? Peace is when you come to that place where you want nothing. All you want is the Lord. You're completely happy with your mate. You're completely happy with the things God has given you or the things you haven't gotten. Doesn't matter. But you have a perfect peace. A perfect peace. Wanting nothing. Patience. Did you ever notice impatient people are never satisfied? See, this phrase, wanting nothing, means satisfied. Impatient people, they got to have the iPhone while it's $500 rather than waiting about 6 months when it's $59. You know, the first computer when it was $3,500 or whatever and so on. Got to do this right now. You see them Christmas time and stuff, impatient people. Thinking the next thing that I buy with my money is going to satisfy me, and it never does. It really just, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, swells the stomach so it takes more to satisfy us the next time. And then swells the stomach more so it takes more to satisfy us the next time. And swells the stomach more and takes more to satisfy us the next time. It's a wonderful thing when you get to the place where you say, boy, I don't want anything. What do you want for Christmas? Never thought of it. It's 4 months away, too. Well, I can't think of anything I want. That's a wonderful way to live. You talk about contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the rich person. The rich person is the one who wants nothing but what they have. And they're content, perfect peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, one of the problems with that verse is we all know it, but if we try to misquote it, we try to say, the Lord is my Savior, I shall not want. The Bible doesn't say that. The difference between a Savior and a shepherd. A Savior is somebody that picked you up from drowning in sin and sin's penalty and rescued you. A shepherd is someone you follow the rest of your life. When you follow Jesus Christ the rest of your life, you'll find you will not want. He will satisfy you. He will satisfy you. Jesus Christ as your shepherd, not as your Savior, but as your shepherd shall satisfy you. But you need to walk with Him patiently. And sometimes He rests. Sometimes He rests for months and says, we're just going to stay right here at this season in our life. We're just going to hang around here and pasture for a while. But I want to be way up there. No, we're just going to stay right here by the deep waters. We're going to be in the valley season for a while. But I want to be way ahead there. I want to reach thousands of souls. And now we're just going to hunker down right here for a while, and you stay put. And then when I start moving again, then you follow me. See, it takes patience to follow Christ. He's a shepherd. Did you ever see a shepherd? I've seen shepherds in Germany and other things. They never run at a full sprint. Shepherds aren't running all over the hills at full sprints with sheep trying to keep up after them. It's not that way. Those guys are slow. Those guys are slow. John W. Peterson wrote, someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. And hitherto my Lord hath led. Today He guides each step I tread. And soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. We can have a perfect peace if we will be patient. You know what I love? It's very rare, but once in a while, I love this, once in a while, you'll find somebody who's so walked with the Lord, their life turned out right, their kids turned out right, they served God, they bore a lot of fruit for the Lord, and they're up in their senior years, and they're gray-headed and everything, and you talk to them, and they look back, and they say, you know something? I wouldn't change a thing in my life. I wouldn't change a thing in my life. Some people can't say that. Some people, especially in the area of relationships, settle for second, third, fourth best, settle for anything. But once in a while, one gets to the end. And they look back and they say, I wouldn't change anything in my life than how the Lord led me. You know what that's called? Number three, a perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, you young people, your future is so far off that all you think about is right now, but you better have some patience right now. You better learn to wait on God, especially in the area of relationships. Wait on God for His best. Now, let me get to the message. Nah, just kidding. That was my introduction. I just wanted to whet your appetite for peace or patience today. It can bring a perfect plan in your life, a perfect person, and a perfect peace. But here's my simple two points. I want to tell you what patience is not and what patience is. The body of my message is this simply. Number one, patience is not procrastination. Do not confuse patience with procrastination. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. That's the book right in front of James. Patience is not procrastination. Hebrews 6 and verse number 12 says this, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice how slothfulness and patience are distinctly different in this verse. See, procrastination is that fancy word we use for laziness. You ever notice how we doctor up words so they don't sting as much? We don't like someone saying, you're lazy. But we can handle it if somebody says, I think you're just procrastinating a little here. Patience is not procrastination. Patience is not waiting 4 months till New Year's and saying, I'm going to start reading through the Bible. I'm going to start praying. Patience is not, I'm thinking about joining the church. Patience is not saying, well, I know I'm going to give, and I've heard people say that, Pastor, as soon as I get out of debt, and as soon as I get these credit cards paid off, and so on and so forth, and get my mortgage under control, and refinance, and so on and so forth, then I'm going to start giving. No, that's not patience. That's procrastination. The Bible says here, be not slothful. But followers of them who through faith and patience... You'll find that the most patient people in the Bible were often very industrious. They were very busy, 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 doing what God wanted them to do, doing the revealed will of God while they patiently waited for Him to show them the concealed will of God, the mystery, the gift, the calling, that special cause for their existence. No, patient people are very industrious. They continue in the last commandment the Lord gave them. And then wait for the next commandment. That's where the patience comes in. Lord, this is what you told me to do now. I'm just going to keep doing this. If it takes me for years and years and years and years and years doing this until you give me the next commandment, I'm going to do this industriously. That's patience. Some men lose patience. Men call to the ministry. God calls them to the ministry, and then they think 2 months later they're supposed to be in some pulpit somewhere or something. When they're supposed to be in some preparation, maybe for years and 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 years, until God finally opens the door. Patience is not procrastination. And finally, oh, by the way, look at Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Patience is not procrastination. It says here, same thing, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, patient people don't sit around doing nothing. That's procrastination. I want to encourage you to get busy for God. Just get busy obeying the last commandment He gave you. You know the commandments. Read your Bible, pray, go to church, give, love God, love your brothers, witness to people. Just continue industriously in that commandment. And then wait for the next one. Last of all, number two, patience is enduring faith. Patience is enduring faith. That's what patience is. It's having faith in the Lord that endures, that never gives up, that never loses hope, that never thinks it's not going to happen. It's never being overcome by a spirit that says, I can't wait any longer. I have given God enough time. No, patience is enduring faith. Think of Sarah, 90 years old when she had her first baby. I'd like to be her. Think of Abraham going out with his wife, knowing not whither he went, just going because God said go. Some of the great, great prophets, and go back to James chapter 5, some of the greatest prophets and old sages of the Old Testament were industrious, successful men, but they had enduring faith. They never swerved, even during the greatest trials and sufferings. James chapter 5 and verse 10 says, take my brethren, the prophets, which have spoken unto you in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Those are our examples. Our examples are the prophets of the Old Testament. Think of them as examples of patience. They were all industrious. They were busy in the Lord's work. They weren't sitting around doing nothing. But a lot of times they prophesied. They even prophesied things they never saw come to pass, but they were faithful to the text. They were faithful to God's word and God's calling on their life. Patience is not swerving, even during the greatest trials and sufferings. Look at verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job, think of the severe trials. And even though he was in a cloud in darkness, and even though he had a complaint, yet he did not in his faith swerve during the greatest trials and sufferings of his life, but rather he cried out in Job 23 and verse 10, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. See, patience is enduring faith. He said, I don't know how long this is going to last. There's not a one of us that have lost all 10 of our children one day in one accident. The house fell in on his 10 kids one day. Some of us have lost loved ones suddenly, one. Think of what Job went through. It says he is held up as a model of patience to us, as a man who did not swerve during the greatest trials or sufferings. But he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the latter day he shall stand on this earth, and even after the skin worms have destroyed my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's patience. Patience is being steadfast when nothing seems to work. Patience is being steadfast when nothing seems to work. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Patience is enduring faith. I want to encourage you today to embrace patience, not to look at it as an enemy. I've heard pious people say erroneously to people, well, don't ever pray for patience. Don't listen to those people. Because patience will bring a perfect plan into your life, help you become a perfect person, and give you a perfect peace. You young people, especially you unmarried, don't just settle for anything. Don't just settle for anything. And it's the same thing in education, same thing in our careers. And don't just settle for anything. Don't just buy the first car you see. Get some advice. Somebody says that car is junk, and say, okay, well, I guess I'll keep saving up my money, try to find something better. By the way, parents, teach your children to be patient. Teach them to have to wait for good things and never give them bad things. Don't ever give in to their temper tantrums, ever. Ever, never, ever give them something when they throw a temper tantrum. Make them to wait sometimes, even a long time, for something they want, so they can take that character into life later. But if you give in to them every time they want something and cry for something, and every time they see the neighbor kids, well, the neighbor kids have those, these and that and the other. You say, well, we're not the neighbor's kids. And teach them to wait. Teach them to save money. Teach them to plan for their future. If they throw a temper tantrum, no, you don't get it now. It's all over. Teach them patience. Because if we give in to them, then they're going to want this. All their life, they're going to want it like this. And then they're going to have anger problems, temper issues. And it's sad when you see some guy 40, 50, 60 years old still have a temper tantrum because he didn't get what he wanted. That goes back to his childhood. Patience, all patience, all the life patience can bring to you. Oh, you don't want to miss it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.